When you say you work for the Baron, do you say you work for the Berenstains, the Berenstain Bears, the Berenstain Company? Like, how do you phrase that?
Usually when, I say I do social media for the Berenstain Bears, and that kind of gives people a perspective. And then usually they're familiar.
Yeah.
So then they'll kind of I'll kind of go into it a little bit more.
Right.
But yeah, that's kind of how I start in. Yeah. A lot of people are confused as to whether they think, since it's so familiar, that it's a big thing, mm-hmm. but I say, like, you know, I work out of Mike's home, so.
Right.
I have to put forward that it's more intimate than I'm not at some big corporation.
I was going to say, because it conjures up the image of you're on some like Google-sized campus, like what's for this entire industry you're familiar with.
Yeah. So usually if they're familiar with the brand, I say I work for Mike Berenstain, who writes and illustrates the books.
Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week I have a guest on the show who I should have had on the show like 5 years ago, I guess. She is the reason I was able to talk with Mike Berenstain in the first place. She is the person who answers all my emails, who sends my emails on to Mike. She is the touch point person at the Berenstain Bears studio, and for 6 years now I've just been like, who should my next guest be? And finally I was like, oh wait, this makes the most sense in the world, and I probably should have had her on about 12 times at this point. So please welcome, belatedly, to Deep in Bear Country, the office manager and social media coordinator for the Berenstain Bears themselves, Eleanor Farley. Hello, Eleanor.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Great. So we've kind of known each other now for about 6 years.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild that it's been that long.
Were you the person? Okay. So I actually don't even know this, but were you the person who answered my initial tweet, like Twitter message, to the Berenstain Bears before I even started the show?
I don't think so. Because okay. I remember you had emailed, I honestly, it was a long time ago, so I'm not sure if that was me or my predecessor. but it was either me or Jess. I started in 2015 in October. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if that, I'm sorry that I don't fully remember. But I am the person that if you tweet at us, or if you Instagram, or if you email, I am the person who is reading it. So
fantastic. So yeah. So, yeah. So that was a mystery person who I don't know, because for the first few months of this show, I was like, I let the Berenstain Bears know that I was doing a show. And then I was like, okay, they will, at this point, no one over there will have any interest in speaking to me ever again, because I'm some weirdo who has nothing to do with the actual company. And then I think I wrote because I was interested in having Mike on the show. And I definitely spoke to you then.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was me. Yeah. Usually my actual name is under wraps. I just exist as the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah. So is this a new thing? Do you usually not do a whole lot of like interviews for the Berenstains?
No. Yeah. This is a new thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I say, I jokingly say it's a long time coming, but it's not even a joke, because you have answered had answered so many questions for me. I met you when Bradley and Jeremy and I came up to Pennsylvania to meet with Mike, and you have listened to this show in the past, I understand.
Yes.
Yeah. Not every episode.
Not every episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Usually, you know, we keep our ear to the ground and see if any anything comes up that we want to address. But yeah.
I guess my first self-interest question is, what's a red flag for an episode of this show? Like, what's something that makes you go, ooh, I should check this out?
I think it's usually just like something like, if I'm trying to think of one, like a more recent thing Mike addressed, but if it's something that's like, there is a, well, even like the question you just asked, like, emailed us recently about like why it was Stan, Jan, and Mike on, and sometimes it's just as simple as just like an error and there's not like something behind it. So if there's like a very simple explanation or something like that, that usually will like pipe in and be like, or if there's like an interesting story behind it, you know, kind of pop in and kind of give some context. But yeah
the big one was lose a friend relatively recently. That was one that I was surprised at. I did my episode and then I get this email and I was like, oh no, what did I do wrong? And
I'm sure. Yeah. Didn't do anything wrong.
So let's go back in time a little bit, because as you have mentioned, you have not always worked for the Berenstain Bears. You had a life before this. What were you doing leading up to getting this job?
I went to art school, and then I worked for an art college in Philadelphia in their admissions department. And I was just kind of looking for something that wasn't, it was in the art realm, but you know, I was doing a lot of traveling to high schools. It was a lot of weekend work, a lot of night work. And then I just applying to jobs. And then I found this one, which I don't even think it said Berenstain Bears. It just said working for like a small children's book illustrator. And then I came in for the interview and met Mike and then was like, oh, wow.
Now, was the Berenstain Bears a part of your childhood? Were you familiar with the work before this?
Yeah, definitely. My brother and I are the youngest of like 14 cousins. So all of our toys, everything was hand-me-downs, and a good amount of that was Berenstain Bear books. So I was really familiar. And it was cool. I remember during my interview, I'm in our archive in the basement.
Yes,
so
you are.
Can see. And immediately he kind of took me in and showed me like, illustrations from some of my favorite books as a kid. So that was really neat. And even stuff as I, you know, worked more in the job, like there were books that I didn't even realize, like some of the imagery was like so deeply ingrained in my childhood memories. So
yeah. And having been in that position, there is something that is so wild and magical about Mike showing you the original illustrations from a book you're familiar with. Like it's bizarre. And to me, it was overwhelming. It was like suddenly realizing that not only was this a real work of art that has a history to it, but that it's a massive history that with like reverberations through the years. I don't know. I tend to romanticize it when I talk to my friends about it. And my friends will tell you that I do talk about it a lot. but just seeing, pulling out those drawers, and was it this organized when you got there?
I mean, a good amount of the art was organized. I think I my first few months was making the system easy to, just jump right in.
Yeah.
You know, a lot, when Mike moved here, he inherited, you know, just his parents' 60 years of stuff. Mm-hmm. So my predecessor did a lot of organizing. And then along with that comes books, toys, apparel. So just sorting through, you know, years and years of all of that. So that was, I mean, that's kind of my favorite part is the like archivist part of this job, where even last week we discovered something that I hadn't seen before, and I've been down here quite a bit, just old Hallmark cards that Stan and Jan had done.
Wow.
Before the bear. So there's just so much to kind of dig through, and I'm slowly digitizing what I can, and that's, you know, an ongoing process. But even just like some of Stan and Jan's comics are here, little stuff that they just kind of doodled on. It's really cool to dig through and see that.
Yeah, I have to just admit that I'm very jealous of where you are sitting right now.
Like, yeah.
the impulse to just turn around and just start going to the drawers would just be impossible for me to resist. So you got this job and you were like, oh, it's for the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah.
And you spent the first part of your job just doing a lot of archival stuff. What did your job end up becoming? Was it different from what you had anticipated?
Yeah, I guess it started out just kind of organizing all the stuff, and then also organizing our digital archive. We have upstairs like file cabinets of all the books that are going on, or that Mike's working on, or future books. Basically, we have a schedule that goes out right now to 2023. So we have, you know, things have to be done in a certain order. So it's managing that. What has been interesting about how my job has changed a little bit over the years is that I've tried to increase our online presence. Mm-hmm. One of the most exciting things, and I'm not even sure what year this was, probably 2017, we got all of our tape reels back that had basically been just stored in this vault from Sony, I mean, since the 80s.
Yeah.
So we got, boxes and boxes of all of our TV series from the CBS 85-86 yeah. series, and then all of the specials before that. So I started a YouTube page, basically had them all digitized and then started a YouTube page for that. And then that's been taken over by a third party company now, but just like getting that stuff out there and kind of expanding that audience is really cool, because some of the episodes hadn't been seen since then. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's something that was new. And then I took over writing our blog. Social media was always part of it. But yeah, it's gone down some interesting avenues that I didn't really expect.
It sounds like, and that was invaluable when those episodes started appearing, because like, as you say, like they had just the only copies you could find were stuff that people had recorded off television, and yeah. they are in pristine shape. Like the fact that they look as good today as they did because you had those original sources.
Yeah, it is a wild thing where it's just like, I don't know anything about original tape reel. So that was like an interesting process of like mm-hmm. figuring out how to do that. And we basically found a company in Oakland that did it and then sent us all the digitized versions back. So,
and you talk about, you know, coming across things that like you and Mike probably just didn't even realize were there, because there is, yeah. there is so much history. 'Cause Stan and Jan never took a break. Like they never stopped producing illustrations and stories and just ideas that they worked on and then were just either forgotten or archived and became something else much later on.
Yeah.
I assume that part of this job has just always been like a lot of like, oh, well, look at that. Oh my goodness. Look at this. Like,
yeah, we've gone through, just as we're doing licensing things or even like, for bind ups for Random House, just looking for new imagery for covers or something. So we've been going through all of our like old product images or just stuff that never really saw the light of day or hasn't in a long time to pull things. And then that's been kind of a fun, I think I shared it on our Instagram a while ago, but just like a concept idea for Berenstain Bears roller skates.
Yes.
Yeah. Just like,
okay, sure, great.
Yeah, but it's been fun kind of unearthing those things. And now like the t-shirts at Hot Topic have some of the images that we just found that used to be product images for like vitamins and stuff in the 80s. So
yeah, how did that yeah. Hot Topic deal come about? That was interesting.
I can't remember. We have a licensing agent, so it came in through there, but it was fun that they wanted so much mm-hmm. imagery, and some of it we had done our own t-shirts for a little while on Teespring. Yes. So we had some ready to go, and then we just kind of sent them a bunch of stuff and they picked a good amount of it. I feel like, yeah, no, Hot Topic it's such a hub of nostalgia yeah. and like from my childhood of, just a funny collaboration.
Well, it is interesting because, I mean, you're social, you do the social media. So you encounter people from all walks of life, people from who are interested in the Berenstain Bears for various reasons. And yeah. who would you like, when I think Hot Topic, I think people who are, I think licenses that are deeply steeped in nostalgia to right. of a certain type of nostalgia. And I know that that's probably, I'm thinking Hot Topic from like 5 years ago. Where do the Berenstain Bears sit now, nostalgia-wise? Like, to me, that's a very... They don't sit with, like, He-Man and the Smurfs. They are kind of their own thing. Like, where is that nostalgia world at the moment?
So, interesting enough, like, I'm in my 30s. When I think of nostalgia Berenstain Bears, I think of like the classic line from the 80s. Mm-hmm. But what I'm seeing now a lot is kids who grew up on the PBS series.
Wow.
So that's their kind of point of reference of, you know, what the Berenstain Bears are. So that's been interesting because I'm not familiar with that. So it is, and also, so that's where they're coming to, but then they're kind of discovering this older line, or like even like Hot Topic, because they're not using the imagery from the PBS series. They're using like older imagery. So it's an interesting avenue as to how that goes back. Yeah.
Are the Berenstain Bears in danger of becoming cool?
I mean, I think they're pretty cool.
I mean, in a way, I guess like that Ferdy Factual is cool.
Right. It is. Yeah. It's like such a sweet and wholesome thing that it's interesting that that's, especially the PBS series is just so, it's, you know, it's not as madcap and it's not, you know, for a reason. It's a kind of appeal to that younger audience in the early 2000s. So it is interesting that that is that throwback, because it's not like, like throwback Nickelodeon where it's like wacky or gross.
But it also doesn't have that like longevity, the cultural cachet of like Arthur, which is still going on.
Yeah.
Like and became memeified and was always a bit ironic about itself. Like Mark Brown's approach was always very just like sort of self-referential. And he doesn't look like an aardvark anymore. Like the Berenstain Bears have always maintained that like sort of directness and level of like, they're very straightforward. Like, no, they're a nice family who live in a pretty nice town. And even the bullies at times are pretty nice. Like,
It's a very sweet world that they're in. Yeah.
Yeah. I just find it fascinating that it's dipping its toe in that nostalgia. But I guess like the kids who grew up with it in the early 2000s are old enough to like start looking back on that time now, as old as that makes me feel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's very interesting. I think something that Mike noticed with like the pandemic is a lot of people kind of honing in on that sweetness and that comfort. And the books that really exemplify that doing well in that time period, which is kind of interesting. So I don't know if that's part of it or what all the factors going on. I know, we got a lot of attention when I first started working because of the, Mandela effect thing. And thankfully that's fading. I'm not getting as many emails about that. Which is like, you know, kind of a big, a pain. Yeah. But the attention has kind of waned, and more so I'm getting a lot of, just general feedback more based on the PBS show.
Great. No, yeah. I'm happy that is beginning to wane. Every once in a while, and it happened again last night, Jen Takahashi from Best of Next Door will repost my Berenstain Bears podcast Next Door post, and I'll get a bunch of people will flood in, and the Mandela effect references are wild, loose and all over the place. And I'm still just like, this is still a thing. We're still talking about this. But I'm glad that like there is that there now people are like, oh, right. Like this is an actual thing. Like this is an over 50 years of books and cartoons and specials. Speaking of looking into the past, this is my segue.
Okay.
what did you study in art school? Like, what was your field of your specialty?
Yeah, so I went to Maryland College of Art and Design in Baltimore, and I studied sculpture.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, I did a lot of, it was a very general sculpture program. So I did some like mixed media work, some video work, and I like am on my own, do some sculpture stuff that's like kind of faded as I don't have, you know, space and all the free time to do it. But I do some like illustration work, and I still do some collaborative video work with some friends. So
I've seen the, I've seen your illustration work on your website.
Yeah.
Is it still like, is that still basically your style? Is that what the style?
The illustration, it's kind of more, like goofy, when it comes up. I was doing some like designs for like a local car company, and you know, I haven't devoted as much time to my artist practice in the last few years, but yeah, that's basically it.
Is it something you wish you had more time to spend on?
I wish I had maybe more motivation to pursue my own artist practice. I think a lot of times where I like have an idea and then you just kind of sit on it for a while. My partner and I last summer moved. So we now live in Lancaster County in like a farmhouse. So we have all the space to do stuff, which is really great. But I still need to like really take advantage of that.
Right. And yeah, does having that art background, and not just an art background, but like to be an artist, how does that inform what you do with the Berenstain Bears? Like, how does it help to know art?
I think that's a good question. I definitely have an appreciation for the amount of work that goes into making these books. You know, it's not just, it's an involved process. And especially like with the like art in the archive, what has been interesting is as Mike's been making new books, a lot of it is drawn from comics from his parents, existing themes within the books. And we can like kind of just go down here, source it out, and then pick out these elements that, you know, Mike can pick out the elements that he wants to have in the new book. So I guess in an artistic sense, when I'm making like posts or Instagram posts, it's, I mean, it's just fun for me to like kind of design those things and pick out these things from the archive, play around. I've done a little bit with doing like the t-shirt designs, designing a lot of the headers for like our previous iterations of our YouTube page. So I get to have a little fun doing some graphic design work too. But yeah, I think the art background helps in just like the appreciation of everything, if that makes sense.
Because there is a lot of work involved in putting together a single children's book. And he puts he does how many books a year?
It varies. I think the craziest year was maybe 10 of the, and that wasn't including bind ups. It was just like getting them out. I'm not sure what we actually just talked about this, so I should know the number that's coming out this year. But we're going up a little bit this year because he's working on all of the new Random House series.
Oh, so really?
That's
fun. People are surprised that there's still Berenstain Bears books. Like I get this reaction a lot, which is like, they'll say, how many books are there? And I'll be like, well, I mean, what are we talking here? Because it's in the hundreds and they are still, and then I'll say they're still being produced. And they'll say like, who's making these? I'm like, Mike Berenstain, like he hasn't stopped. He's going strong. He's writing two series. Is it, do you consider it two series, the religious books and the non-religious books?
Yes. So I would say two series at the moment. Yeah. We finished the Zondervan book. So now it's Random House and HarperCollins.
Right. Right. Yeah. And of course he's working on these years in advance.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of like a timeline of like most recently Halloween Party came out. So
that's right.
Yeah, it's probably, I mean, as the schedule gets going, usually he's got the manuscripts done well in advance. And then we kind of have to piece how everything falls together and doing the interior artwork and everything like that. So
you said that you came from a group of 17 cousins. Was that it?
Yeah, give or take. My mom she's the youngest of six.
Okay.
So I think it's 14 on her side, maybe including my brother and I, and then we have two on the other side, and then there's second cousins and all that stuff. So
was in this group of cousins there a cousin Fred? Was there a cousin Fred among the cousins?
I Probably a Cousin Fred with an attitude, maybe.
Oh
yeah.
Oh my goodness. It's like a real 1996 Cousin Fred.
Yeah, the cousins that are closest to us in age were all boys, mm-hmm. who my grandparents lived on a farm. So it was a lot of like using me as a guinea pig to do stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, just so they had they had beef cows. And so they'd be like, oh, Ellie, that electric fence isn't turned on. Like, just go pull it up. And then I'm me electrocuting myself. So
wait, wait, that's an interesting story. Yeah. Did they know the fence was on?
I was okay. Just gullible. Yeah. No, oh. It's.
Oh, wait, yeah. This was your cousins doing that?
They were telling me that it wasn't on. And
okay.
We would be,
in my yes. head, it was your grandparents telling you.
Oh, no. We were wandering.
Like, my grandparents had this farm and I was a bit of a guinea pig and they would tell me to go touch the electric fence.
No, these were the cousins. No, my cousins closer in age. So
Now I've never touched an electric fence, but my older child did touch the electric fence at her aunt's horse farm. And yeah. And so I know that it's not a pleasant experience.
Yeah, it just kind of throws your arm back a little bit.
It's not Jurassic Park levels of electric fence, but it is unpleasant.
Right. It's more like it's a little bit of a shock. And yes. They got a good laugh out of it.
You should see if you could have Mike work that into one of the books. Let's see. Come on. Have Too Tall convince, like, I don't know, Ferdy Factual to touch an electric fence. See what happens.
Yeah.
And it is interesting that adults today are very familiar with the PBS series, because as Mike has pointed out, PBS had him really made the Berensteins downplay a lot of the more rough and tumble aspects of the Cubs' interactions with each other. So kids who grew up with that might not be familiar with the fact that Too Tall and his gang really, really pushed the boundaries of what kids should do in the books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like smoking and some of the chapter books. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We did have a good time discussing that one on the podcast.
Yeah.
And Mike having to change it to, I think, stealing candy in the, in the religious version of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that's the wrong crowd. I'm trying to think, it was the rowdy crowd.
Changed the rowdy crowd.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No wrong crowds in the religious bear country.
They just have so much spirit from all the sugar.
All that sugar.
Yeah.
Those candy bars that you hold like a cigarette, I guess. Yeah. Fascinating. And it's one of the things that I enjoy talking about with Mike and trying to explain to people is that this is a business, and the children's publishing industry is fairly cutthroat and unforgiving when it comes to like just getting your books out there and staying mm-hmm. relevant and having a property that is 50 plus years old, that is stayed in a single family and it hasn't been like handed off to, you know, like to various other people. It hasn't been like made hip, tried to make it like, let's have them all. Like, I don't know, like they did with the Looney Tunes back in the early 2000s. Like, let's make them all space characters or Garfield's pet force. Like it's pretty much stayed the Berenstain Bears for all this time.
Yeah.
And if there've been shifts in style, and there were the chapter books, which are my personal favorites. Because they're wild.
They're really wacky. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But for it to have maintained its integrity this whole time, I think this blows people away that it's just stayed this small group of creators and now is pretty much Mike doing all this. Does he ever seem very stressed out?
I mean, yeah, I think there's parts of the job he likes and parts that he doesn't. You know, it is... I think it's more fun to just make the art and it's less fun and dealing with the back and forth about minute things. Like if you can have a cigarette or if it's a candy bar, you know?
Right.
So I think there's, you know, aspects that are more enjoyable than others. But I think he is, you know, hoping that to not have such a heavy workload, but you know, he's been doing this for a long time and,
yeah,
you know, definitely finds enjoyment especially we were just talking about Learn About Heaven, and one of the spreads where he kind of had fun modeling it after, you know, this classic artwork, doing the layout for that. Yeah. So, you know, he finds ways to have fun within the realms of illustrated. Yeah.
The times I've talked to Mike, I just have the best time talking to him.
Yeah.
Talk about somebody who just loves discussing his process and isn't shy about sharing his frustrations with the business.
Yeah.
And that's something that, again, I think people need to be reminded of, is that this is a real man working his real life and doing real art, and isn't some faceless corporation. Because you and I were talking before we started about how when you say you work for the Berenstain Bears, it's you go to a house and you work with one other person, pretty much.
Yeah. Mike's got a studio attached to his home, so it is a small operation. And I think. When you say that's what you do to somebody, first there's like a flash of recognition and then confusion as to, oh, they still exist. And then, especially if, now as I have friends that are having kids, it's, not as much as like, oh. Yeah. but then, kind of understanding what I actually do is like interesting when you're introducing yourself to someone.
And again, it's not like you're working for just Disney, which could be anything. It's a small operation. Have you been recruited and did they ever try to steal you away to go work on Little Critter?
No.
Okay. Just making sure.
No, I haven't heard from the Little Critter people.
Okay. Just if you do, just know that that's to be expected. What is one of the more, if you ever have to clear up misconceptions about the Berenstain Bears or people, what's one that you've had to clear up in your work?
I mean, aside from the Mandela effect one.
Aside from the Mandela effect.
I think there's a lot of misunderstanding of like the religious line of books that they they just heard that they exist and that, oh, now the bears are all religious. It's like, no, there's still a line of books that are secular and about everyday things. I think just like reiterating that it is a family company and that Mike took over, or people are like, don't understand that Mike also worked with his parents for years, so that's another one where it's like, oh, he didn't just like come in and
right.
it is odd. I have a friend who grew up with the books. It's just sometimes you have an idea from your childhood or something that sits weird. And she was like, oh, yeah, I just always imagined that they lived through the drain of my bathtub. So it's just like,
have to clear this up?
I didn't. That's not a great answer to your question. But just like a lot of times when I, bring up my job, people just bring up something from a book. So it's not so much clearing up. It's just like people just like, the first thing that comes to mind is some odd thing that bringing up the brand elicits from their childhood. So yeah, it's not always clearing up, but it's just like kind of hearing like a funny anecdote, or like another friend was like, oh, I was disgusted by that worm and learn about strain. Yeah. So it's usually stuff like that people bring up. So you kind of got an interesting look as to them and what they were like as kids.
I am whenever people ask me about my show from now on, I'm going to be like, I know what you're going to ask. No, they don't live in your drain. Just to clear it up before you say anything. To me, it was the, growing up, it was the clay barrel in the back to school.
Yes. Yeah.
The giant barrel of clay.
Yeah, that's a very visceral. Yeah.
Cause I don't understand it.
I remember we had Bear Scouts was a book that was a pretty heavy rotation when I was little, in that stew. When Papa Bear makes the stew and it's just like all this disgusting stuff coming out. That was like a big, thing that I remember, like there's in also, a visceral sense.
There's an illustration from, I believe it's I believe it's A New Baby, where Papa has his jug of honey and he tilts it back into his mouth, drinking, like the honey's just running down his throat. And as a kid, I understood that that would be gross, like to do, like it would be overwhelming, like that's too much honey. But there was also that part of you, like when you're a kid and you see a delicious looking illustration that just seems like that looks like the greatest, most delicious thing to possibly do. And also the candies in Too Much Junk Food.
Oh yeah.
Which it looked over like that's too much candy, but it also looked like the greatest candy to
ever eat. Delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also funny about the honey thing where it's just like probably it pulled from like, just like reminiscent of somebody just swigging a thing of moonshine or
of
something,
course.
But it's honey. Yeah. It's just like.
someone on Twitter just yesterday, because of the Best of Next Door post, they was like, I randomly clicked on this guy's podcast and all of a sudden he's talking about the Great Bear War. And I was like, yeah, you just don't understand. There's a lot of wild history here. And they wrote a lot of words about a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so funny.
So the Berenstain Bears, they sit now on this position where there is a ton of history that people think of as the Berenstain Bears. A lot of people are like, it's those books from the 80s. It's that cartoon, maybe from the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. But there's also now several decades beyond that of books and cartoons and characters who were introduced, that Mike has introduced. Like,
right.
I just did Faithful Friends. It's coming out this week before this episode comes out. And I was like, oh yeah, Mike introduced this character, Susie, who is the braces wearing, bespectacled outcast.
Yeah.
And so like, it's still an ongoing concern. It is a growing universe. Like even as we speak, where do you like as the person who is helping put all this together and keep this boat running? Where do you see it going? Like, where do you hope it goes? Like, what hopes do you have for the Berenstain Bears in the future?
Interesting question. Going back to just like characters that have been introduced, we were just talking the other week that Honey Bear is 21. So.
Ooh, you should do a time jump like Funky Winkerbean did.
Yeah, or like Maggie of the Simpsons or something. Right. I would love to see a movie happen. Mm-hmm. I think that would be great. But I don't really I've never really thought about what I would want because I am work in service to what Mike wants to do. So, you know, I don't really have too much stake in the game. I like my job.
right. You're not throwing out ideas all the time.
No, not so much. I like the return, like kind of back to basics view of the new Random House. And what I think is really cool about us going back to Random House is we're also kind of talking about bringing some stuff back from the vault. So we have, you know, out of print books, we have just stuff in here that Stan and Jan made that hasn't really seen the light of day. So we're kind of trying to work on getting some of those out there. And that would be really great if that happens. But that's something that, you know, it's really cool when you discover something and then to see if it could, you know, function as a kid's book in today. And some of this stuff is just so classic and enduring that it's an easy step just to see it come back out in the world.
Are you ever going to print that weird political flip book that Stan made?
I love that.
That was the most astounding thing I've ever seen in my life.
It would
throw people for a loop.
Yeah, that was one of the early things I found in the archive that I was like, oh, this is just so cool. You know, it's just like very funny and incredible artists that it's just, you know, I love even going back into, I was looking through some old comics and it's just like a joy to go through those things. So,
and yeah. I think it's amazing. And when we were there that, you know, Mike would pull out this stuff, the paintings his parents did in art school, like the illustrations his father did in the army, things like that. And just be so proud, like this, look at all this stuff they did. They never stopped working that he's so willing to share this and to sort of let his parents' legacy live while also being a creator himself. I'm just, to me, it's heartwarming and it's encouraging and very inspiring. Like just as a creator myself to be like, right. Like this stuff lives and it keeps inspiring and keeps being relevant to people.
Yeah. It's great. It's cool to see that they had such an expansive universe of their own art. Like the bears are a big part of it, but you know, and Mike too is an incredible artist who happens to do bears for his day-to-day job. But yeah, it's nice to be immersed in it every day.
Yeah. It's great work if you can get it.
Yeah.
So Eleanor, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
I do have one final question. What is your favorite Berenstain Bears book?
So I was thinking about this. I really like the old beginner books. Like I have a very soft spot in my heart for Bear Scouts. And for the earlier works, I really, I like Under the Sea. I also like enjoying, like watching Mike create that because he was using all these references to just like animal, like, I mean, we have a library here. We were just talking about this of just like pre-internet, everything that you could imagine to want to draw. There's like a reference book on beetles, about books, about fish, about just like ancient Greek antiquity, you know? So it is cool when you can kind of pull that stuff out and incorporate into a story like Under the Sea does, because it's just like a kind of cool reference book. Oh, you know, Big Book of Science and Nature, which is the combination of all of those, the Almanac, Science Fair. And of course I'm going blank right now, but.
Almanac, Science Fair, and. I'm going blank as well. They're on my bookshelf, but they're over there and I can't see them behind my computer monitor.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite. There's just so much in it chopped into one book that I really like that one. Yeah.
And I always recommend those to people because those giant splash pages are just incredible.
Yeah.
Honestly, I could just sit here and gush about the Berenstain Bears all day, but I won't because I do that once a week. But where can our listeners find you if they're looking for to see what you do?
Yeah. So my website is eleanorfarley.com. It's in like dire need of being redesigned. But I also started a blog talking about our little farm experience, and it's called Faux Farm. So with every post, I try to do like a little illustration based off of what we're doing. So yeah, that's kind of like a fun side thing I've been up to. But
that's incredible. That's incredible. I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, I think it's faufarmblog.com.
Awesome. Yeah. And of course, you can find this show at BerensteinBearcast.org. Someone made fun of it for being a .org. They were like, it's .org. And I was like, you know, it was available.
You get what you get.
Yeah, it's BerensteinBearcast.org. You can write to me at BStainBearcast. I'm at P. Corey Gonzalez on Twitter. I have another show called It's Del Toro Time that I do with my older child. It's about movies and horror. I have another podcast called Pizza Toast that I do with my friend Christy Admiral. It's about the Babysitter's Club and currently about Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. So if you want to hear me talk about something other than the Berenstain Bears, listen to those. Otherwise, I'm going to keep doing this show as long as I have life in my body. And as long as Eleanor keeps answering my emails when I have weird questions about the publication of the Berenstain Bears books, or as we've noted, I get something terribly wrong on this show. And she tells on me to Mike. So otherwise, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of the show. And I will see you all next time deep in Bear Country.